fourth chapter of Colossians here. And again, Deborah, thank you.
Don't you love the footnotes?
I do. But starts off, employers, fourth chapter, verse 1. Employers, treat your workers with equality and justice, as you know that you also have a Lord and a Master in heaven, who is watching you. You know, I've read before that reason a lot of workers leave their job isn't because the work's hard or anything like that. It's just they don't feel the equality there. And I've noticed over the, here in the last few years here that women, you know, they voice their, you know, unequal pay. And, you know, these employers have stepped up to the par to, you know, to make it just with them. But it says, be faithful to pray as intercessors who are fully alert and giving thanks to God. And please pray for me that God will open the door of opportunity for us to preach the revelation of the mystery of Christ, for whose sake I am in prison. You know, Paul, he starts out praying for others in the Colossians here, but now he's saying, I want y'all guys to pray for me. And he says, pray that I would unfold and reveal fully this mystery that is my delightful assignment. We'll stop there and we'll go back. And but he's asking them to pray for him that he may reveal Christ. Well, let's flip back to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll see what this divine mystery is all about. And 1 and starting at 25, he says, this is the very reason I've been made a minister by the authority of God and a servant to his body, so that in his detailed plan I would fully equip you with the word of God. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's been revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. That's a pretty good mystery right there, ain't it? Mm-hmm. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope. Think about that. We got a treasure chest within us, you know. And Deborah's talking about baby boy being born a little bit ago, you know, and I think about that. And, you know, the world, you know, and the angels there, they were saying, what? Glory to God in the highest. Mm-hmm. And this glory here, you know, he's wanting to make known to us what's in us. This little baby, what he's brought to us. I talk about grandbaby here for a second. You know, old Bonnie Sheep, she buys him these little old, you know, toys. He loves toy cars and trucks and all. And he's got a whole little wagon full of these things just that she's bought him since he was a newborn. And he'll come down the house and he'll get his wagon there, and first thing he'll do, he'll just dump every one of them out. And he'll just, and then he'll go over there and line them up, do place whatever of them. But, you know, you think, man, what a mess he makes. But, you know, he's looking to see what he's got. You know, you know, in my mind, that's what he's doing anyway. But, you know, that's kind of what the scriptures tells us to do, to look at this treasure within us. Yeah. You know, hope, righteousness, mm-hmm. peace, mm-hmm. the glory of God. I mean, everything we need is within that treasure that he's given us. Let's read on some more. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everybody to know it. That's why Paul was angry about getting the word out, because he knew that God wants everybody to know about what Christ has done for us. He says, Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into full understanding of truth. You know, Ray was talking about the heart this morning, and you know, it's just the Lord looks at the heart, don't it, man? And that's what it deals with in man's heart, you know. And it has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity with his power flowing through me to present to every believer, he wants all believers to know this, the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Everybody say that, I'm perfect.
I'm perfect in Christ.
In Christ. If you're out of Christ, that don't apply to you. But the Lord Jesus Christ has made us perfect. That kind of, you know, you can kind of stick your chest out on that. That knowing what the Lord has done for us. But I want to go on, flip back to, I was just thinking about this morning, talking about the heart and all, but it's Matthew chapter 6, and the Lord, he loves dealing with the heart. He just, I love to hear it ministering anybody when something just not so much strikes me here, but it strikes me here, that I know I need to change or do something or, you know, make a adjustment per se or whatever, but the heart, I love when the word strikes my heart. But this Matthew chapter 6 and 19 says, don't keep hoarding up for yourself earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts and decays and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourself that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. Your heart will pursue your treasure.
Wow.
Your heart will pursue your treasure. So if Jesus Christ is our treasure, we're on the right track then. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. If your heart is unclouded, light comes in. But if your eyes are focused on money, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will be the darkness within you if the light of truth can't enter? How could you worship two gods at the same time? Or will you hate the one, love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other? You can't worship the true God while enslaved to the god of money. You know, I know the Lord teaches a lot on money. You know, we know that and all, but
on both sides.
It
the love of money is bad, but yet we still gotta have it, and he tells us how to use it.
Exactly. He's a good God, isn't he? He's a good Father to tell us, hey, you trust in me, I'll take care of what you need.
Yep.
You know, you ask me for what you need, I'll take care of it. Don't put your heart over here thinking, you know, this gonna satisfy you, meet your need, and you know, it just won't do it. Amen. But the heart, God dealing with the heart, and prayer, back to prayer. You know, I was listening to, you know, that you sent me Thurston on Shadrach, Meshach, what's that thing? Last name?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Well, the minister.
That's El Lockridge. Shadrach, Meshach.
But he was talking on prayer and all, and that was good on what he was saying, you know, that every man has that privilege You know, a lot of times we'll ask, Paul even asked people to pray for him there, but he said, I don't trust people praying for me. He said, I pray for myself, you know. He said, who knows me better than me?
Mm-hmm.
And but I like that, what he said about prayer. And but we don't need to distance ourselves from God, because he's given us that opportunity to come before him, ask him what we have need of, and pray for others too, you know. But what else did he say about that prayer there that I thought kind of hilarious? He's a funny type fella,
yeah.
But he's got a good rep. You can tell he's a man of prayer.
Yeah.
But,
Preacher.
but with a heart too. And, you know, time in prayer, your heart will tie in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'll not distance you from the Lord. Amen. Well, yeah. Thurston, I'm going to sit down and shut up and let you come on.
You got us.
Miss Barry ain't here.
Oh. Daniel, what translation is that you mean?
The Passion. Miss Dever, she turned us on to it, man. We've been turned on. And it's good.
You know, that Passion translation is good. I love it.
It's awesome. Wow. Teresa wants to know now, they're going to do a Passion Old Testament.
Yeah, that'll be good. Well, I'm going to pick up what David left off. Floating in the spirit. God loves us. He put in my heart to talk about training. When we were talking about trust this morning, trusting what the Holy Spirit, whatever he prompts you to do, whatever he puts in your heart, when you see it through, you learn things you can't learn any other way.
Yeah. When, it's almost like reading the word for the first time.
Yeah. So that's why... I love the easy way. Every time I learn something, I try to make it simple. Because you can stick with what's simple. Lester Summerall, I heard him say this. He was at Pastor Webb's church at Word of Life that year. I learned about him from the radio. A guy would always refer to Lester Summerall. And when I found out he was coming to Word of Life, I made it my business to be there. Hmm. One thing he said, one thing about God, he makes everything simple. He said, when things get complicated, you done left.
Right.
You done left God's presence. He makes everything simple. The easy way to cooperate with the Holy Spirit is to fill your heart with the Word of God. That's just the easiest way to do it. Receive what God is saying and let it become a part of who you are. Like what David was reading, let the Word be in you. Receive it. But receiving happens before we believe it. We hear the word, a good and honest heart will hear the word and say, you know, that's right. Their mind may be in reverse right now, but when they see the wisdom of God, hear it, experience the love of God from others, that helps them receive what God is saying. Then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. They have a reference of God's love. That's why Jesus taught, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. That was before he died for us. That was before man experienced the devoted love of God, the agape love of God. Nobody experienced that kind of love except in worship. But then here comes Peter with a greater message. Love others just like God loves you. Just like Jesus laid his life down for you, that's how you're going to love everybody. When you treat people like they matter, when you love people that way, that helps them to receive the Word of God. Your love, your ministry is the third witness. The first witness is the life you live before people. The second witness is your testimony, what God did in your life. The third ministry, the third witness is preaching and teaching, singing. That's the third witness. But the third witness can work better when the first witness and the second witness is in place. So when you fill your heart with God's word, you're not reading it to memorize it like you're studying for a test. You're just receiving the strength of the Lord. You're receiving it. You're filling your heart with God's word. You're going to forget it. Your mind will forget it. But what gets in your heart, it can stay there. And you have to protect it. The world tries to draw it out through frustration, temptation, aggravation, selfishness. The world try to get it. The world can siphon the word out of your heart. The wiles of the devil, the world, the selfishness, the greed of the world. You should be promoted, and somebody less qualified is promoted above you in your sight to frustrate you, to absorb the word out of you. But when you continue to fill your heart with God's word, you have the strength to shield your heart by your faith, because man will not promote you. Your promotion don't come from man. Your promotion comes from God. All promotion comes from God. As that was jobs I had, I worked as under God on that job. I read that scripture. My mother taught me to do that too. Work as under God, not as under men. And David was, you was reading that scripture this morning. What's the first scripture you was using? I think it made mention to that. I was going to heat up the donuts for that.
About the employers.
Yeah.
Treating the employees right.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's another one that say, work is under God, not as under men. Well, I did that, and the Lord promoted me in my business. I was still promoted. And I didn't get promoted on the job like I was praying for. I eventually started praying that I'd get my own business. And then when it happened, God promoted me in my business. And I made more money the first week to work for myself than I did on the job. And anyway, beside all that, filling your heart with God's word makes it easy. So when the Holy Spirit has something to say, you won't wrestle with it. You'll receive it and act on it. It takes a great amount of courage, and the word of God will give you the courage you need, the bravery you need, the determination you need. When God looks bigger than your problems, you're full of the word of God. When your problems look bigger than God, you need the word of God to do the warfare you got to do. Now, training, the Holy Spirit will train you for what you got to do. That's why we grow from glory to glory. Shana never crawled. She didn't see anybody crawling, so she never crawled. She wants you to get her by, put your hands under her armpits and hold her up, and she kick her leg. She did that till she walked. She never crossed.
Wow.
My back used to hurt because she would, I would hold her under her arm and she'd kick her legs. And she did that till she got strong enough to walk. And then when she started riding a bicycle, she was riding a bicycle on the patio, I bet. And then she started crying because her leg must have started hurting. I said, nothing's wrong with your legs. You just gotta you gotta let them rest. The Lord trains us to help us go forward. What work in the baby stage, that'll run out, just like Ray was saying. And now it's time for you to start walking, riding bicycles. It's time for you to start. The Holy Spirit will help you, help train you for every glory. When I first started going in His presence, I would always, I wanted to make sure I reverenced God. And, you know, I had it was like a fear of the Lord. And every time I would ask some questions, that's the frame of mind I would go in. Like, I got to fear Him. I got to make sure I reverence Him. And then as I grew, I just noticed the Lord wanted me, just talk to me. You love me. I love you. Talk to me. Reason with me. Talk to me. He didn't say it, but I sensed it. And I stopped doing all the rituals, you know. Your relationship grows. I still loved Him. I still feared Him. But I left that ritual stage. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit talked to me. He told Job, talk to me like a man. He spoke to him out of the world. We can have preconceived ideas of how God is, but when you relate to Him yourself, He's not just a figure in the pages. He's a person.
You can't trust somebody you don't know. Even God. The only way you'll trust him is to receive what he's saying. You got to go in dialogue with him. When preachers don't do that, when people don't do that, when Christians don't do that, they try to keep him in a character figure. They're not going to trust him when it's time to trust him. Well, you can have faith in him and not trust him.
When I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was like a microphone in my chest. I could hear God talking, and all of a sudden I could hear him in my head. And I said, why are you talking to me in my head? And he said, no, that was not it. I didn't have enough. My soul had not been renewed enough for me to understand here. But I could understand in my heart where the Spirit was residing. So I could hear him very clearly, then all of a sudden I could hear him in my head.
He would download concepts. I would understand it.
Without words.
But I couldn't verbalize them.
Data download.
Yeah. What was you saying, Rick?
I was going to tell you, you know, what you're talking about, though, and this is so massive in the church right now, okay, to where we have a concept of God, okay? We don't see none of the power of God. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're not looking at it. What is the first miracle that God ever did? Jesus did. Okay. Jesus did. What's the first miracle? How can we all know that, but we don't know what he was famous for, the very first thing he was famous for? What's the very first thing he was famous for?
You tell us, Brother Neil.
He casted out demons.
Oh, okay.
And they asked him, where'd you get this authority from?
Yeah.
And he didn't cast them outside. This guy was in the synagogue. This guy was a Jewish member of the church. And he had a demon in him.
But he says, I do what I see my father do, and God has Satan and his demon, his rebellious angels out of heaven.
We got a lot of them in church.
He knew how to do it because he saw his daddy do it.
Oh, absolutely. That's not what I'm talking about. I agree with that 100,000%. That's fact. But we got a lot in church, and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know. They don't know how to stop doing this, even though they want to. They hate it, but yet they can't. So what's causing it? Think about it.
Joseph Prince.
Come on. There's something I want you to watch on it.
I've been listening to Joseph Prince. You know, he was very steeped in the occult. Very steeped in the occult. And he said after he was saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was hearing all these words. He says that demonic presence just did not want to let him go.
Yep.
So he said what helped him that he had never heard anyone preach on before since then is God has delivered us from every evil work.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And preserved us for his heavenly kingdom. He said that one scripture is what got him loose from what he was.
Especially from depression, he quoted Isaiah 61 on the depression because he had a spirit of praise that took him out of the spirit of heaviness. Mm-hmm. A spirit of heaviness, that's depression.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is, it's depression. So if you got depression and you suffer from it, I'm not talking about everybody gets the blues. Get that out of your mind. I'm talking about people who really want to have depression.
That's beauty for ashes.
Come on. That's exactly correct. And we can literally come out because he came to get that off of us.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way, you know, when you put on the spirit of praise, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, you worshiping God. God starts looking bigger than your problem. I've seen people so depressed they could see a miracle, but in their mind and in their heart, they believe it can't happen for them.
It won't happen to them.
And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I've never been depressed. And I never asked him about it. So I said, teach me about depression.
Boy, you don't want to know.
he said, he made it simple again. He said, it's a void of the word. The way you kill depression is fill your heart with his word.
Light and darkness can coexist. It's one or the other. Yeah, light and darkness can't coexist.
When you receive his word in your heart,
you can't be depressed.
It can be a head knowledge. Because, see, I've known people that had a head knowledge. They could quote literally chapters of the Word, but yet they still suffer from the exact same things that they were before they even got saved.
Yeah, I had a lot of problems. I should have been depressed, but I wasn't.
because the Word was in your heart. That's good right there. I wish I could have said that. But see, you summed it all years ago when you had that motorcycle wreck.
Yeah.
The first thing that came out of your mouth when you were thrown off that motorcycle was not Mama. It was not Daddy. It was Jesus.
There you go. That's right.
Your first reaction.
Because they poured out I-59 of cement. I'm sliding on that cement.
It would have felt good, wouldn't it, if Jesus hadn't come out of your mouth? If something else would have come out of your mouth, it may have affected everything completely different.
I got run over by the cop.
Can I ask you a question? If you're struggling with something, and how do you pray to ask God to deliver you from something when you feel like you have prayed and, you know, ask God to help you with that or deliver you from something and you still feel like you're going through that, you know, but you're trying to be humble about it, you know, but it seemed like
it's not going.
Yeah, like it's still, you know, like you're still going. I know everybody goes through trials, you know, and tribulations in their life, you know, but what do you do when you feel like it's not working? You know, yeah, it's not working. You're trying,
okay, what happened
it's not
to me?
Working.
Like, that's how it was for me. Really? I said, Lord, I didn't know how to get rid of this problem.
Okay.
I said, but in his presence, I sensed that I could. Okay. But I still didn't know how to do it.
Okay.
I happened to go to a church where worship was strong. Mm-hmm. So I would worship God. And in his presence, I started sensing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I still didn't know how to do it.
Okay.
And I kept after him about it. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, knock, seek, and ask. Keep after him about it. Okay. Ask him every day to teach you something. Against how to, don't ask him how to get relief. Ask him how to kill the problem.
Okay.
To the point that you have skill.
Okay.
But in the meantime is what, like when you first start praying, you're in faith, but you don't know what to do yet, and the time will happen.
Okay.
But in the meantime, fill your heart with the Word of God.
Okay.
Every aspect of the problem, study it in the Word. Find other people who went through the same thing, what happened. Keep doing that. Your heart will get stronger. And then the Lord will start telling you what to do and how to do it.
Okay.
The other thing I recommend, which we did Tuesday morning Bible study, is listen to Derek Prince's sermon on breaking generational curses and pray that prayer at the end.
It's not just that one. There's another one.
There's two of them.
Oh, my gosh. You got to sit here. This other one. It's an hour and a half long.
I've listened to both of them. I'm just saying, Derek Prince has a bigger ministry on deliverance from generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
And from, he gives you a list of things that will bring you under a curse.
Yep.
And the biggest one is the first, it's in the Ten Commandments, it's honoring your mother and father, because that's the first commandment that brings a curse if you don't do it.
Very first.
The very first one. It brings a blessing and a curse. If you honor your parents, you can extend your life. There are many blessings that come with it, but there are also many curses. But he does the big things like that. He also does the small things like, he said, if you're anti-Semitic, because God told Abraham, I will bless whomever you bless,
yes,
but I'll curse whomever you
curse. That's true.
People that hate the Israelites, who hate Jewish people, they've already brought a curse into their
life. And self-inflicted curses, too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, that where you actually put it on yourself, didn't even realize you did, but you did.
By what you spoke.
And but this next one, I'm telling you what, it is, I wish that I listened to these two right here first before I went to Robert Henderson. Robert Henderson's ice on the cake. This guy, on the second one, he was actually showing how demons